More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The honor flights we heard about before the break pay tribute to a generation that is fading from active memory, that of the soldiers who fought in World War II. The book that documents those flights will help subsequent generations remember those stories. So will a novel called Don't Let Down by Milwaukee and Elizabeth Mullins. Mullins culled the real-life newsletters produced by women, including her mother, from St. Matthew's Parish on the city's south side. The newsletters featured both updates from the home front and news about parish members serving overseas in World War II. In fact, some of the chapters in Don't Let Down start with quotes from letters home printed in the newsletter called The Apostle.
I guess the Army is the greatest travel agency in the world. Let's pray they've bought us all round-trip tickets.
The fellows walk up the church aisle to receive communion, with helmets in one hand and rifles in the other.
Don't let down, and don't think it's all over. It's not, and there'll still be a terrific struggle and much hardship before we see the end of it.
Betty Mullins joined Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce and described what sorts of items were typically found in the newsletter.
They reviewed a play that they had just put on, and they reviewed a book and gave a list of books that were available in the library that they ran. Then they advertised some coming events like, you know, the Boy Scout hike or the concert that's coming up, or this group is having a card party on this night. And then they reported on how the Girl Scout cookie sales were going and that the Altar Society had elected new officers. And then they had at least a couple pages of just little one- or two-sentence paragraphs reporting on at least 30, 40 of the men. Sometimes something as simple as so-and-so's at this fort and he's in radio school. And others it was so-and-so was wounded and he's recovering in Australia. There was one guy who was complaining about KP duty, and he wrote, "Damn the potato, whoever invented it." And a couple of fellows were stationed in England, and they would write that they are taking a class at Oxford or they went to this pub that Charles Dickens used to frequent. So those little tidbits of news on all kinds of different fellows from all over the world. And then actually they had an in-depth interview once in a while. If somebody was home, maybe he was injured, maybe he was, through with his service. And they would go into a little more detail about what his experiences had been like.
Why did your mom and these other ladies feel that this was important to put out this newsletter each month?
I think they were motivated by, patriotism and love for the people, from their parish that they knew. They wanted to participate in the war effort, and I think they wanted to boost morale. And they wanted to give their people a connection to home. I think that's what motivated them.
Did you get a sense in reading the newsletters what this information from home meant to the soldiers?
Oh, there is not one issue that doesn't contain at least one thank you from these guys. They appreciated it so much. Well, I forgot to mention the name of the newsletter was The Apostle, because they were like spreading the good news just like the apostles who wrote the Gospels. And this one person wrote, "The Apostle, like the Pacific Ocean, covers the miles between us and those we love."
Mm.
Those were the kinds of comments these fellows would write in their letters back to the staff, or sometimes they wrote them to their family, and the family gave them to the staff. But they were absolutely appreciated.
Did your mother ever talk about her work with the Apostle?
You know, she didn't. At least I don't remember her talking specifically about having made these newsletters during the war. But I must have known something about them, because when I discovered them, I knew what they were. After my mother died, I was looking through her things, and I found a full set of issues of this newsletter. They published this once a month from 1943 to 1946, and she had every single issue. And it made me realize that she kept them because she was proud of them, and she should have been. And because that was a very meaningful time in her life.
Why did you choose to take these newsletters and then fictionalize them in this novel, Don't Let Down?
Even though I knew like maybe 20, 25 of these people who were talked about and who put the newsletter together, I didn't know of anyone who I knew to be still alive. And I thought it would be too daunting a task to try to track down actual participants and interview them for more information. I also felt that there was such a treasure trove of information already in them that I almost didn't need to. But the other reason for fictionalizing it was so that I would have the freedom to pick and choose real stories and mix and match them and recombine them into characters and situations that I thought maybe would make for a more interesting story. I mean, these are interesting, believe me, but I thought I could improve on that. And I could also fill in the gaps with my imagination.
You told me a story before this interview. There was, in fact, an instance where you did fill in the details, but it took you hunting down what actually happened, that sometimes the newsletters would mention something and you would find it didn't include all the details.
Exactly. In fact, generally that was true. There was like surface information and cute little stories, but not whole histories, except once in a while, if somebody had an in-depth interview, they might have gotten a fuller story. But there was a fellow from St. Matthews who was shot down over Germany in May of 1944. And the newsletter told us that he was missing in action. And then a few months later, it mentioned he's still missing. And then in December of 44, it reported that he was home for Christmas and so happy to be there. I realized I was going to have to develop the facts and fill in a lot of gaps if I wanted to tell that story. And it was intriguing. I thought it must be an interesting story. So I went to the UWM Periodicals Library and looked up the man's obituary because I knew who he was. I learned from the obituary that he had been in a B-17, and I thought this was interesting and clever. He had avoided opening his parachute to the last possible second so that he would be more likely to be missed, you know, not be seen. And it must have worked. And he had somehow escaped out of Germany into France, which was at that point still occupied, but not for long. And he had worked on farms and orchards. He had played deaf and mute when he had to. So that was wonderful additional information, but I still needed to fill in the gaps. So I began doing some research, maps and guidebooks and books about the war, in order to find a place in France that was liberated as late in time as I could find. And so I found this village in northeast France, and so I had him shot down near there, and I imagined how he escaped and imagined how he was sheltered, and then I just went back to the real facts of in mid-October, this village was liberated by the Allies.
I just think it's interesting that you're taking some of these stories that, even though they've been so well preserved in these newsletters, you're bringing them to light for a new generation. What does that mean to you?
Well, that you know, you learn things when you write something like a book. And among the things I learned was that the more vividly you keep a memory alive, the closer it is to you. And that even though information like this, stories like these, dilute with each generation, they will never be forgotten as long as somebody remembers. And so this book is a way for me to pass on this information, these stories, to another generation. And it's something that can be lasting. I mean, this book can last forever.
You also chose to include actual quotations from mm-hmm. some of the letters and some of the newsletter articles. Why did you choose to do this? And you know, as you were fictionalizing the story, why did you choose to include these real words
Well, because they were so impressive, that's the short answer, I was so impressed with their humor, their eloquence, their they were so deep and profound, I just couldn't resist. So I just thought it would add to the book to have these wonderful quotes introducing chapters.
There's a difficult moment at the beginning of the book, toward the beginning of the book, where the young women learn of the first death of a young man from their parish.
Yeah.
What was it like for your mother and her friends to try to report that news?
Yeah, I'm sure it was difficult because the first man who died, his sister worked on the paper. I can only imagine, because, of course, they didn't write down how they felt, but I can tell you that that's one thing I do recall is my mother often remembering that man, the first man from their parish who died, and she always looked very wistful and sounded very wistful when she remembered him. When that first death occurred, they devoted a full column on the front page to the story of his life and the story of his military service. And they mentioned that the family had received a letter of condolence from General Arnold. But they also printed in that issue a letter the family received from his chaplain. And that letter from the chaplain was so much more personal and so much more revealing of the man. And then, of course, they had a memorial mass for every person who died from St. Matthew's. By my count, there were 15 men who died from the parish.
I would imagine that reading these really gives you a snapshot of how communities throughout the United States reacted and coped with the war effort.
Right.
With the reality of war going on with their loved ones fighting overseas. What did you glean from reading about how St. Matthew's dealt with this experience?
Well, let me say that at least one person in the course of these newsletters mentions that, you know, gee, thanks for sending the paper. I really appreciate it. I love reading it. And lots of churches do this. And we pass them around like mad. I mean, they don't even care if they know anybody in the newsletter. They just want to read about home, you know. But the sense I got was that I was reading the experience of people who were putting their faith into action, using their faith to illustrate and interpret and survive these very real and dramatic times. I mean, how do you cope with that much death? You look to God, you pray for strength. I think that's how they reacted, and I think that's what they did.
Why was it important to you? And what do you hope readers get from reading Don't Let Down?
I did want, generally, to have readers really feel like they understood what life was like in that place at that time. And I think I've succeeded in that regard because a number of people have said, that's exactly what you did, you know. And I've even had people who were alive then say, everything you write about in this book, I can relate to. It all happened, and that's the way it was. So I did succeed in that. Beyond that, I would say that I did want to pass this on, share it with another generation and pass it on and hope that someone else does the same thing so that these memories of these wonderful people and the wonderful things they did will live on.
And in this case, you aren't just talking about the soldiers. You're talking about the young women who preserved all of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I want them to be remembered as well because this was a wonderful thing that they did. They really participated in the war effort by doing this wonderful thing to connect their people back to them while they were away.
Betty Mullins, thank you so much for sharing the details of Don't Let Down with us.
Thank you very much for having me here.
Milwaukee writer Elizabeth Mullins' novel is called Don't Let Down. It's based on newsletters produced during World War II by women such as her mom at St. Matthew's Parish on Milwaukee's South Side. Mullins spoke with Stephanie Lecce. One last break, and then a trip to the historic but endangered Soldiers' Home on the grounds of the Milwaukee VA Medical Center. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.